League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You remember? Yeah.
Jeez.
Slim's already off his titties.
It's A&MMA. We're back. What kind of A&MMA would it be without it?
What, without you being off your titties?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There's no A&MMA without Slim losing his marbles.
And we got a special guest in the booth.
Juice.
We got the juice.
You know, Juice is a avid Nate Diaz supporter, so luckily we got him here to help us preview later when we get into that and give us all of his good little juice comments and stuff.
I'm here for that.
His juice squirts. I like it. Hell trademarked yeah. By... No. No.
Don't get it in your eyes.
Right, yeah. There you go. Yeah, we are back in this episode 87?
88, I think.
I think it is 88. Dude, I've been losing track. I've been, like, when I save them, I name them wrong, and then I get to audio boom, and I'm like, oh, it's that one?
Where did you get Bull Jewel from last week?
I don't know. Listen, I woke up, so I ended up going over to Carrie's, mm-hmm. drinking a lot more. You know, I had that, like, case of Miller?
Yeah, you already lit as a tit.
Threw it in the freezer, drank all those, a 6-pack of pint, or a 12-pack of Miller pints. And I woke up the next morning, and I was like, fuck, dude, I gotta upload this episode before I go to work. And then I went to the website, and I was like, oh, I did that last night? Oh, word? There's, like, spelling errors and shit. I left, like, a random hashtag in the comments.
Yeah,
I was
for like, shit anyways. You're not fooling nobody.
You're not wrong, but I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. I thought I forgot. I thought I edited the whole thing, and then I... Yeah, no, well...
What a nutcase. Juice, how was your Browns game?
It was great, man. That opening drive was something
too much,
out of the
right?
fucking something Couldn't out of
wrote it more perfect.
No, that was a great game.
Yeah,
a lot
super
of fun.
Fuck yeah!
Especially
Moonshine,
throwing
them
peanut shells down.
Down chat shit.
Yeah.
Whoa! Turn that down, please.
I got you.
Jeez, Rick.
Oh, jeez, Rick.
But
yeah, I saw you guys.
The
had
topper
a blast.
Was Ronald spilling his beer on his head. That was That was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
He did what?
Ron spilled his beer on Chad's head, which also brings me to a point. Ron said next time he sees you to put your hands in the air.
It's work on site?
He said it's literally the next time he sees you, he's whooping your ass.
What?
Yeah, he's sick at you.
I need a backstory on this.
We apologized.
One.
I apologized.
You can tell your side of it.
Yeah,
I was making fun of Ron for getting a bunch of booty tattoos. I didn't like the looks of them, and I was like, bro, you're getting good ideas, and they're getting butchered on your body forever.
And Ronnie's like, are you serious, bro? And he was like, yeah. And then Ronnie was like, coming from the guy who has no tattoos, and Slim was like, yeah, because you make me not want to have tattoos.
I was drunk, and I was just felt like talking shit. Yeah,
I'd slap you
but
too.
I apologized. I apologized to my man.
No, they all look nice.
I was out of pocket.
They all look
I was
good.
Out of pocket.
I got the same shit from dude. I mean, he didn't fuck me up.
Well...
I'll fuck you up.
Well, that's exciting. I don't really want to fight Ron, but all right, cool.
No, I totally made that up.
Oh, okay.
He didn't tell me you were out of pocket, though.
Yeah, I was out of pocket. Yeah, I was out of line. Overstepping the boundaries.
I told him, I said, sometimes Slim just gets drunk, bro, and he just fucking
See
says
him in
whatever.
The mosh pit.
I just want to go off on someone's neck.
neck tattoos, apparently, which Ronnie just got.
I did clown on him for that one. I'm like, you're really just not trying to catch any jobs, right?
Yeah. No.
He's about that Macy's life, so.
I mean, he's about that rock star life, bro. He's about to.
Yeah, he is going to blow up.
He's going to be in a band, man.
Fucking, yeah, MGK.
Yo, I showed him the Funky guitar. Fresh beat, and he said he's going to change that little boom, boom, bow. With a
wah-wah?
With a guitar string.
Ooh.
With a wah-wah?
Like, wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, with like a guitar riff. Yeah, so I told him I'd send it to him.
Fuck yeah. I'll send it to him. Shit.
Right.
For sure.
But, yeah, good. I'm glad you had fun, Juice.
Yeah, no, that was a good time. That was a good time.
I went to...
Minus the moonshine. That threw it through a whole new level.
Oh, you drank moonshine?
You know I got that moonshine.
I know you do, but...
I caught, like... maybe a quarter of that full swig and had to fucking spit that shit back.
Yeah, my dude Jesse, as soon as it hit his stomach, wait, all really? Over the place.
Yeah, that wasn't even, that was gasoline. That wasn't even alcohol. That was
the same shit I had?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And somehow Mr. night. Fucking Chris Angel over here pulled it out of a sealed Crown Apple bottle. I'm not sure how he got it in there, but this thing still had a plastic seal on it.
It wasn't me.
I saw that. I made that comment last time I was here. I was like, bro, what do you mean?
No, I said the same thing. I didn't do it. I was like, what do they did that?
They fucking probably cut it open very slightly and then just like glued it.
No, there was no tampering at all. That shit was like fresh from wherever the fuck they make Crown Royal. They
just, can you imagine buying a bottle of Crown and that was in there?
Ooh.
And you're just like sipping it like normal Crown?
I'm suing y'all.
You could.
Sorry.
Y'all gave me a DUI and right. I beat my girlfriend.
Jeez.
Not funny. We man. Don't.
We don't condone domestic violence here at A&M.
Speaking of beating girls, though, did y'all see that cut man though at the fight on Saturday? Dude was slapping his girl.
Yeah,
to, like,
and the
pump
dude
her
in
up,
the background was like
this big ass dude. Yeah. He's like, what the fuck was that?
That was awesome.
That was pretty funny.
He was shook. I got back from PA. I stayed the night Saturday or Friday for a show with H Money and Nell.
How was that?
Dude, it was awesome. I cannot wait to go back.
I don't remember a fucking thing, but it was so cool.
I remember all of it, unfortunately, the rest of the night. But I told Monty, I'll tell you later, Jake, but it got a little out of hand as the night went on, about 4 in the morning, but it's fine. But
it's
the rest of the
fine.
Night. The rest of the night was great. I met a lot of cool people. I met a lot of new fans. Everyone was super cool. They were all coming up talking to me because I only knew like literally two people there. Mm-hmm. So I made a ton of new friends. It was just awesome, dude. It was good vibes. They had giant speakers. They had like string lights everywhere. Like the whole backyard was lit up.
Wow.
It was awesome. I can't wait to go back. So,
that sounds dope.
Yeah, that was my only second time in PA ever and my first time in Pine City. So,
that's a shit town.
Well, there was nothing around and I had no cell phone service, but
that's,
I tell you what.
Shit town.
Those people were down to kick it. Like there was at least 4 bottles of Hennessy, including mine. Everyone was just getting Lydia's a titty, blunts were going everywhere. Like, it was awesome. So definitely a good environment. I'm glad I got to do that show. Fuck yeah, dude. Pine City's where it's at.
All right. Well, I'm glad you had a good time as well, Slim. Glad all my friends are having good times, which brings us to the current task at hand, which is MMA.
Well, how was your Browns game?
I got it's like every other Browns game. It's a big fun blur. Literally.
Do you not like record shit to remember it?
I got some videos of us just kicking random footballs into people's cars.
Oh,
catching footballs off your eyebrow.
I did take a screenshot of that one. Yeah.
That's an amazing catch.
That's funny. It almost took you out.
And you know what's funny? I didn't know that happened until I was just like looking at my videos the next day, and then like I watched the video and I was like, oh my god, I caught that so fucking close to my face.
Catch it on his incisors, dude.
Right.
Canines almost caught that shit.
Alright, another task at hand.
Yeah.
What we had was a UFC card in Uruguay last weekend.
You know what, Slim, before we get into that, I just want to go ahead and announce some fights and stuff that have...
Okay.
Was that my phone?
No.
Ooh, did you see?
I gotta shut this bitch up.
Lando Venata versus Mark Diakasey.
That one is going to be fire. That is one I was going to announce. Tanner Boser, who we saw get his bout canceled against Giacomo Lemos, who you called out for definitely being on steroids, who definitely got busted for being on steroids, will be taking on Daniel Spitz, who, surprisingly enough, backed out of his fight with Jeff Hughes a couple months ago.
Oh,
so,
hey.
Apparently, he gets an easier. my opponent here, and he's going to take that. That will be at UFC 240 in Edmonton, Alberta. So a Canadian.
We're on 241, my guy.
243. Whichever one's July 27th in Edmonton. It says UFC 240.
Damn, son, you're not even in the right time zone.
We're 241 is Saturday, so.
Why was this posted 2 hours ago?
You know we're in August, right?
I just don't know why it's. And this is on UFC on ESPN 6? I think they got their shit
okay,
messed up.
Okay, no, that's like the weekend after, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they got their dates and times messed up. I'm just reading from this article. Okay. MMAfighting.com, get your shit straight.
No, it can't be July still.
Yeah,
I don't know what date that is, but it's probably Andre or Jessica Andrade versus Weili Ji Zhang.
Isn't that in China?
Yeah, or it could
not
be
Canada.
Oh, it's in Canada?
Yeah.
Then
was
it
that
is.
That little Chinese dude fighting in that one? The one that caught the meanest right hook I've ever fucking seen delivered to somebody?
Oh, no. Yeah, he probably end up. I can't remember his name,
but that dude was a fucking monster.
That will be UFC Fight Night Cerrone versus Gaethje on September 14th.
Okay, so yeah, that's. I don't know what MMAfighting.com is talking about, but yes.
It's fine.
That fight was announced, and then we also have Ally Aquinta versus Dan Hooker, which me and Slim said had to happen. That will be happening at UFC 243 on October 5th in Melbourne. So
I like that one.
Another one of the premier stars in Australia, and Down Under will be on that card. I mean, that might be the biggest international fight card of all time.
Isn't Kaikar France on that too?
Yes, probably.
Dude, they're all the homies.
Literally everybody.
Dan Hooker, Kaikar France, and Israel. They're
Jim
all
Crute,
training.
All those
yeah,
homies.
Training partners, homies. That's awesome.
Tai Tuivasa's in there, I'm pretty sure. Like, come on, bro. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Sick.
Which other ones did I have here? Jessica Ai will be fighting Vivian Vivi Araujo at UFC 245. So we get to see the hometown girl make her comeback.
Stefan Struve versus Ben Rothwell got announced.
Yeah.
That's like in December, though.
So Stefan Struve not sticking to his retirement word, as we really didn't expect him to.
Yeah, it was said he had some time off and he got to reflect and realize that he really does love the sport and just competing in general.
Yeah. John Allen, who made an impressive UFC debut against Mike Rodriguez, got busted for some drugs, so he's going to be suspended.
What?
Yeah, John Allen.
Performance enhancing drugs?
Some drugs.
He failed a drug test, so I guess, bro.
I thought you meant like he got caught with a pound of coke or some shit.
Well, that's a little
that'd
excessive.
Have been a little bit, yeah. You're in the UFC, my guy. Relax.
That's what happened to, wasn't it Veronica Macedo in Italy?
A pound?
That was...
No, she was trafficking.
Mauro Romero Barella.
That's right. I just saw the first woman same on my screen.
I guess that's the best person to trust with your blow.
I just said whatever woman was on my screen.
It sounded Italian.
Jeez.
Veronica Macedo is Colombian.
Okay.
Who's going to fuck with a UFC fighter that's carrying your blow?
Boston Salmon will be meeting Randy Costa at UFC on ESPN 6. I remember you were pretty high on Randy Costa. So
I like that.
We'll see how they both do coming off losses. And, yeah, that's all I got for fight announcements.
Okay. Nice.
So now we can get into the card that was UFC Fight Night Shevchenko versus Liz Carmouche,
a.k.a. For the most part, Sleeper.
Yeah, UFC Fight Night 156. You know, it's got a bunch of other names. But let's go ahead and get into it. Veronica Macedo took on Poyana Viana. Me and Slim both went with Poyana in this one, and we got it wrong, as Veronica Macedo put on a performance of the night and got herself a really impressive armbar that she worked from the bottom.
Yeah, dude. She looked awesome.
She almost got the first one, didn't get it, stuck with it, got the second one.
Right.
Looked really good in her flyweight win here over Poyana Viana. That was 1 minute and 9 seconds into the very first round, which was the fastest submission in women's flyweight history.
There was only two strikes thrown, one from each fighter during the entire fight.
Yeah, and that was also the first time Viana was submitted because she was a former Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion.
Wow.
So very impressive by Veronica Macedo to snap her 4-fight winless skid for her first win since July of 2016.
Two.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And that's why we didn't pick her, but hey, everybody has their night. Veronica Macedo getting herself $50,000. Moving on to the lightweight bout.
We had Kazula Vargas going up against Alex De Silva. I picked Alex Da Silva in this one, and I got it right.
Yeah, Slim got me on this one. I thought Rodrigo Vargas was going to be able to out-wrestle and box Da Silva here, but Da Silva's just too much of a talented lightweight to just have a newcomer come in and bully him like I thought he was going to. So Slim started the night well. I start the night 0-2. Slim's 1-1. Let's get into the next fight, which we also disagreed on.
Yes, we had Chris Gutierrez going up against Geraldo de Freitas. I picked De Freitas, and I still feel like he won this fight.
I do not think that. I definitely saw it going 29-28. I thought Gutierrez was controlling that first round, and then the only reason that that third round looked bad was because he got cut by a headbutt. Other than that, De Freitas wasn't really doing anything.
Well, he was being the aggressor. He was landing the harder shots. Gutierrez...
What's the strike count, though?
Freitas landing more, 57-49. Significant strikes, 40-48
for Gutierrez.
Yes, but okay. 2-1 takedowns for Freitas. I don't know. I mean, it was super close. It was a split decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, one judge had it 30-27 for De Freitas. The other two had it 29-28.
I had it 29-28 for De Freitas.
All right. Well, me and Slim agreed to disagree.
Well, your opinion doesn't matter.
So that drops. What were you to start the?
I was. 1-1.
You were down 3 going into this card, correct?
Ah, yes.
So that brings Slim's deficit back to 3, luckily for me. And then we go into our... Oh, and that was... Yeah, I already said the scorecards. Let's get into the next one, which was Crazy Town, bro. What the fuck was going on in this fight?
This was a good fight. We had Rogerio Bonitorin going up against Julian Paiva.
Dude. Off rip, these two were just going at each other's necks.
Bro, keeping the flyweights alive.
Yes. I'm telling you. I could literally watch these two fight all day. Yes. Bonitorin, straight action. And the heart, because he had that crazy hematoma under his
very
eye.
Very early.
And then he came back to cut Paiva with that knee that was just... Bro.
Dude, did you see the picture they posted afterwards? It looked like his eyelid was about to fall off.
It was two of my fingers wide. I could almost see into my dude's scalp, bro.
Right.
It was disgusting. That was disgusting. But nonetheless, dude, Rogerio Bonitorin coming back from a cut that he suffered himself to just instantly get back at Paiva and get that doctor stoppage, which I do agree with. At first, I thought it was early, and then they zoomed in on it.
It looked
and I was
very
like,
early. You could even hear Bisping going, come on! And then they zoomed in, and I was like, that man's going to lose his eye.
So, Rogerio Bonitorin defeated Julian Paiva via the doctor stoppage. That was 2 minutes and 56 seconds into the very first round. Oh, man, what a fight. I think if we didn't have that Luque Perry fight, this might have won fight of the night just in 3 minutes.
Right. We both picked Bonitorin, right?
Yeah. Bonitorin is now 2-0 in the UFC, 16-1 overall. He has earned 14 of his 16 career wins by stoppage. And now Julian Paiva, as much of a talented prospect as he is in this flyweight division, 0-2. This is the first time, of course, he's suffered two consecutive losses in his career, and he hasn't won since August of 2018.
Wow.
And that's the first time he ever got stopped via strikes.
I think that was an amazing fight, though, and I cannot wait to see him back.
Yeah.
Once he gets that, I...
way to put on for the seriously flyweights, looked boys. At. Moving on to the women's strawweight division, where Slim got me on another one.
Hey, this one was a little bit sad, though. We had Tisha, the Tiny Tornado Tortoise. Going up against Marina Rodriguez. Tisha Torres, man. What's going on with her, dog?
The rise and the fall, man.
Jeez.
I mean, of course, before she came to the UFC, she was absolutely amazing in Invicta. Had so much hype behind her. Went into the Ultimate Fighter. Had a little bit of a bumpy road there where she lost 2 of her 3 fights. But instantly went to the UFC. 3 wins in a row, and then lost to Rose. Mm-hmm. Very understandable. Goes on another 3-fight win streak. Everybody's saying she's the only one who's going to be able to challenge Rose.
Right.
And then Jessica Andrade happened. And then Jessica Andrade happened to Rose. So they start giving Tisha Torres Joanna. Another loss. Wei Li Zhang.
Well, your timeline's a little messed up, but go on. Because... Tisha Torres fought Andrade and Wei Li Zhang before Andrade fought Rose.
She didn't even fight Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Tisha in July of 2018?
You got your timeline messed up.
Andrade won the belt this year.
I'm not comparing their timelines. You're going off like two different timelines. Why are you following Rose's timeline?
No, you said Andrade.
Slim is totally missing the point here. Don't listen to him.
All right.
So she suffered that loss to Weili Zhang. They gave her a fight, which I thought was very reasonable here in Marina Rodriguez, an up and coming prospect who, you know, didn't really have too much of a name on her, too much hype. And Marina Rodriguez is just nasty.
Dude, she's mean. Sick. She's mean. She was landing nasty kicks, nasty punches. It looked like Tisha was just very tentative. And apparently...
And honestly, that's how she's looked for a while now.
Yeah, in the pre-fight, while she was walking to the cage, they said that her coaches were trying to get her to get angry, get mean, get nasty with it, because she needs to stop being, you know, so tentative and, and get be more aggressive and be the fighter she knew she could be. And she just didn't do it. And after the fight, she came and said, I think I still could have knocked her out. Well, where was it?
Yeah,
you where was the effort even?
You didn't go forward.
Like, come on.
At all. I mean, like you said, she back when she was, you know, getting all these wins in a row, I mean, she was pressuring people. She was using that wrestling and putting it right in your face.
Exactly.
And now she's kind of just very tentative. She stays back. She kind of looks to counter-strike, and that's just not her game. She needs to be up in your face, getting you in the clinch, and then dragging you down and laying on top of you. But just kind of getting away from her ways lately. Hopefully she gets back on track. Her four-fight losing skid is the longest of her career, obviously. She hasn't won since December of 2017 now.
Wow.
Her four-fight losing skid in UFC strawweight competition is tied with Kaylin Curran for the longest in divisional history.
Ugh.
And all five of her career losses are by decision. I really, really hope she gets on track, but I cannot take anything away from Marina Rodriguez. She is a very promising prospect. I think she needs to take... she's definitely a top 10 fighter, in my opinion, and I think she needs to get...
She just took out number 6.
Yeah, I think she needs to get a top 5 for her next fight.
For sure.
So Slim got me on that one.
Number 8 she took out, I'm sorry.
Okay, so take her spot, and then give her a top 5, maybe, or, you know, maybe she can work her way down there. She's still a little bit... young, but
right.
We'll see what they got in store for Marina Rodriguez. That moves Slim's deficit to 2, and Slim is all confident at this point, texting me 2-1. You know what I'm saying? He's feeling himself. He's feeling good. Oh yeah, and I'd like to also, I was gonna open up with the show, open this up with the show. Slim, another week goes past, another 20 bucks, not in my
word. Well, I'll give
double
it to
word
you.
There's interest now.
It's honestly, at this point, I'm kind of hoping you come back and beat me.
I forgot about it.
Because I feel bad.
I'll give it to you on Friday.
All right.
Send me your request.
I won't hold my breath.
It's fine.
So
Jake, I think you were here for the last time we talked about this.
No,
that
was
like 3 weeks ago.
It was.
So
I forgot.
He's calling out loan sharks
now.
Yeah,
Slim's deficit moves to 2. I'm feeling the pressure, man. I'm not feeling good, man. Let's move on to the heavyweight division.
So we knew this one was going to happen. But we didn't know it was going to happen this way. We had Ciryl Gane going up against Rafael Pessoa Nunes. Ciryl Gane, the giant kickboxer.
And, trains with Francis Ngannou. I mean, that's all you got to hear, really. He's basically just like Francis Ngannou. But
guess what?
He's got a submission game.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Imagine getting put in an arm triangle by those
Dude,
arms.
Dude, did you see
my head would literally just be like...
Yeah. Did you see the takedown that he did?
Yes.
Ciryl, or Nunes, went for the takedown, and Ciryl did, like, this weird spin flip to end up on top.
Almost like a judo throw.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever
seen.
He
took his momentum, and he flipped it onto him.
Right.
Beautiful.
Nunes was the bigger man, well, weight-wise.
Yeah, right.
But, dude.
How fun is this guy to watch, though?
My God. Scary. Every time he threw a punch, I was like,
yeah. Let's get Ciryl Gane right back in there. Let's start building the hype behind this man. Because,
new heavyweight prospect.
Yeah, you can sell this guy for sure.
Definitely.
I like it. So Ciryl Gane defeated Rafael Pessoa Nunes via arm triangle choke 4 minutes and 12 seconds in the very first round. Unfortunately, he didn't get himself a performance of the night bonus, but I did think it was deserving of one.
Right.
He is now 1-0 in the UFC, of course. All four of his victories are by stoppage. And Rafael Pessoa suffers his first career loss, ending his win streak at 9.
Yes.
So we'll see what's next for both of these guys as they work their way up the heavyweight ladder. And then we got our featured bout on the preliminary card.
Another weird decision. We had Gilbert Burns going up against Alexei Konchenko.
I think you think these decisions are weird because you're on the losing end of them.
Yeah. But no, Alexei, I mean, I don't think he won the fight totally, but I mean,
I don't even know what that means. Gilbert Burns.
Wasn't it unanimous, though?
It was. It was 29-28 across the board, which I felt was correct.
Yeah, I could have given him a couple rounds, but.
Oh, my God.
He's a sore fucking
loser. He landed 115 strikes to Gilbert's 63.
But what did he do with those strikes? What's the ground stats? What's takedowns?
3 of 7 for Gilbert Burns.
All righty. So he was, of course, returning to the welterweight division, so he's now 2-0 while fighting at that weight class. Maybe that's Gilbert Burns' weight class. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's now 9.
Has to be
right. He's now 9. He looks good in it too. He's, you know, he doesn't look drained at all.
No,
he looks natural there.
Different, like just different.
Right. So he's now 9-3 in the UFC, 16-3 overall. Alexei Konchenko, the win streak ends at 20. He was 2-1, or I'm sorry, he was 2-0 in the UFC. Now 2-1. And, I mean, that was a tough draw. It was about time he faced somebody who, you know, had a name behind him. And Gilbert Burns was a better man on this night. But that takes Slim's deficit back to 3. I'm feeling a little bit better about myself. And that was the preliminary card on ESPN Plus, which sends us into a rather exciting, maybe, kind of, I guess, a decent main card.
50-50
main card.
The 60-40%. We had Enrique Barzola going up against Bobby Moffitt in the first fight. Yeah, Enrique Barzola just did exactly what he needed to do to get the decision like we thought he would in this one. Absolute pressure. His takedowns were there whenever he wanted them for the most part. He landed 3 of 7.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of them weren't, you know, like the best attempts, I guess. Right. He was just like kind of going for it. But yeah, Enrique Barzola looking great yet again.
Definitely. Now, one judge did have it 29-28 for Bobby Moffitt. I cannot see that. Another judge had it 30-27 for Enrique Barzola.
I don't agree with that either.
But 29. Oh, well. Another judge had it 29-28, I think, correctly for Enrique Barzola.
Yeah, I would give it 29-28.
For the split decision victory. Enrique Barzola, his 35 takedowns landed in UFC featherweight history are now 3rd in the division.
Holy shit!
Dennis Bermudez, who's 1st, and Darren Elkins, who's 2nd.
He's been there like a year and or 2.
I mean,
maybe more. Yeah, I might be talking out my ass.
Yeah, a little bit more than that. But he's now 6-2 in the UFC. All 6 of his UFC wins are by decision. 16-4-1 overall, and an impressive win by Enrique Barzola. I mean, he throws powerful punches behind those takedown attempts.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he mixes it up really well. I think he's a really, really promising featherweight prospect.
For sure.
Moving on to the middleweight division.
We had
go ahead, Slim. Go ahead.
Rodolfo Vieira going up against Oscar Piachota.
Yeah.
We called this one right. We thought Rodolfo.
Okay, Rodolfo Vieira was going to be able to come in and use that pedigree of Brazilian jiu-jitsu that's not often seen in the UFC cage.
Yes.
World champion, displayed it. As soon as he got Oscar Piachota down in that second round, well, it was kind of more towards the end of the round, but he got on top. He instantly passed a couple guards.
And he showed decent striking as well.
Definitely. I mean, he has knockouts on, I think, 1 knockout on his record. Man. So he has some power in those hands, too. But
that's a big boy.
That Brazilian jiu-jitsu is just next level in the octagon, and it's going to take him a long way, I feel. So Rodolfo Vieira defeated Oscar Piachota via arm triangle choke 4 minutes and 26 seconds into the second round. He's 6-0, I'm sorry. So all 6 of his career victories are by stoppage. He likes getting it done in the first and second round. And then Piachota here has suffered 3 consecutive losses after starting his career on a 12-fight unbeaten streak.
Wow.
And both of his career losses are by submission.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Wait, you said both.
He's 3 consecutive losses after. See, he's 11-2-1, so I think he had 1 draw in there.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
That's a misprint here by MMA Junkie.
Gotcha. All right. Well, yeah, Vieira getting it done with a nice finish in the second round.
CCC. Moving on to the light heavyweight division. Our last disagreement, and I got the upper hand, sending Slim's little stupid ass packing back to four under. Boy, Volkan Ozdemir, no time. No time, Slim. You took no time to pick, make your picks. Boy, and that's why you down.
Get the fuck out of here.
Read it and weep, Slim.
Ugh.
And what about that knockout?
Wow. No time getting back to his finishing ways after a 3-fight losing skid.
Man,
looking amazing,
bro. Just the way he was peppering him at the end of the fight to lead into that knockout, and then that last when Elier dropped and he landed that last punch. Boy, golly, I got off my seat.
Disgusting,
man. Volkan Ozdemir, I know he was on that little losing streak, but I do think he is going to consistently stay in the top five of the light heavyweight division.
Yeah.
He's just there.
And he called out Jan Blachowicz.
I think that's a good fight.
I like it.
I think that's a really good fight, and I'd really like to see that because Blachowicz himself kind of is like doing the same thing. You know, he's having a couple tough losses against top competition.
Right.
But when he gets in there, it's always exciting, so... I'd love to see that fight. Let's make that happen. Get that. I don't know if we got any like European cards coming up, but fucking put them on there.
I couldn't tell you off rip, but I think so.
Yeah, so Volkan Ozdemir defeated Ilir Latifi via punches, 4 minutes and 31 seconds into the second round, putting me up for going into UFC 241, which is going to be a hell of a card.
God damn it!
It's all right, Slim. You tried, buddy. You honestly gave it a good authentic shot last week, so I'm going to give you credit. But,
well, we had 5 disagreements. That's one of the most we've had in a very long time.
Yeah, definitely. So Ozdemir now 4-3 in the UFC. 13 of his 16 career victories are by stoppage, with 12 of those 13 stoppages by knockout.
Wow.
Jeez, Rick. And then Ilir Latifi, now 7-5 in the UFC, 14-7 overall, has suffered consecutive losses for the first time in his career. And he hasn't won since February of 2018. That was also the first time he's ever been knocked out in his 7 losses.
What? I thought he got knocked out by OSP. He knocked out OSP?
Yes.
Okay, never mind.
So, great performance by Ozdemir, trying to make that climb back up the light heavyweight ladder. We'll see how he does, but nonetheless, that was a good win. Juice, can I have one of these? I can't drink this fucking white claw, bro. Yeah,
that shit's for fucking weirdos anyways.
Hey! Ain't no laws when you drink the claws, Juice.
You on a fucking diet?
No, right. But I'm on a drink a bunch of these and wake up not hungover.
Remember when Myers was on a Michelob Ultra tear? If these bitches were out, bro, he would have been shoving them up his butt.
Fucking
dude, these don't make your stomach strong big.
Shit, a Michelob Ultra,
you feel great.
You trying to say I have a dad bod, bro?
I have a dad bod. So, yeah, I'm like your family. I'm calling you back.
I'll beat my family up.
I think your dog wins out of all of them. maybe Allie. Anyway, going on to this next fight.
Getting choked all the way out. Cold.
On this next fight, we had our only fighter from Uruguay on this card. Eduardo Gar...
What?
Eduardo Garagori.
Yeah.
Going up against Humberto Banade.
Need to lay off them claws. Bandana. You can't even pronounce names anymore.
No, even if he's sober.
Have you not listened to us at all?
Even if, this has been an ongoing thing since episode 1.
Yep.
So
the whole 2 years ago.
Reading, as Slim has stated before, not his strong
suit. It's the foreign names, man. When they're like Polish last names, I got it.
You're Polish.
When it's them, I got it. Piotrota. Hey, there it is. Like, off rim.
We should know this.
No, I got those. Shit. But the other, the Brazilian ones and the Uruguayan ones.
Anyways.
Even though I listen to them get announced, I don't retain that information.
Bruce Buffer just has that earpiece in. He can't. He don't know shit.
Yeah, no, he probably don't know.
He's like, what?
What say the fuck that one more say? Time.
One more time, real quick.
Syllables.
About to go on. Come on.
So,
I still didn't catch it. Fuck it.
How about this kid, though? Coming out in front of the home crowd.
Yeah.
And lighting the place on fire.
Dude, that crowd went insane.
And it was just beautiful to watch. That was the moment they were waiting for the entire night. You know that was their main event.
Right.
And they made it rock in that place.
For
and
sure.
I would love to see them go back to Uruguay after how they treated everybody. Everybody said they loved it there. Sounded like everybody had a great time. And then this kid comes in here, puts on this performance over a fighter like Humberto Bandene, absolutely dominating him for 3 rounds.
Yes.
Not like didn't just beat him.
Like he was ready for it. Dominated him. He was so ready. Jake, will you grab me 2 Trulies out there?
2 Trulies.
On the bottom.
Not one truly. Two.
Well, I don't want to have to make him get up again.
Yeah, those little lime boys.
You better shotgun one of those like Baker.
With my tooth just.
Yeah.
But yeah, nonetheless, I'll get past this one. Luis Eduardo Guerrigori defeated Humberto Bandane. 30-27s all across the board for a fantastic win. He is now, of course, 1-0 in the UFC after making his debut as the first Uruguayan fighter in history to earn a UFC win. I don't know if there was another one who fought, but he's the first one to win.
Yeah, and the first card in Uruguay as well.
Right. And then Humberto Bandane, now 14-7, 1-3 overall in the UFC. He is on a 3-fight losing streak, which is the longest of his career, and he hasn't earned a victory since August of 2017.
Dang. That's a long time.
Yeah. But let's get into this next one because.
The People's main event.
Wow, what a fight. I mean.
And I called it right.
I think we both did.
No, guess who didn't get a finish? No one.
What?
Last week, I said, this is going to the judges.
Oh, I thought you were talking about fight of the night. I called it, this was going to be fight of the night, but...
No, I said, this is going to the judges. And then you were talking about prop bets, and, like, the prop bet was, like, this ends before, like, three rounds.
Oh, well, yeah, good one, Slim.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm glad you put money on that.
Yeah, I did. Vegas odds, but... Vicente Luque going up against Platinum Mike Perry. I thought this fight was a little weird because Vicente Luque was already on a 5-fight winning streak going up against unranked Platinum Mike Perry. But, dude, it delivered.
You knew it would. I mean, you could just look at this fight and, geez, Slim. You could just, I mean, you knew what was going to happen. It was going to be all action from the get-go. You know Mike Perry's not just going to go in there and back down.
No.
And Vicente Luque gave him all he could handle, and Mike Perry gave it right back. A lot of people... did not agree with this decision.
I could have seen it from Mike. Mike
once
did.
That nose deal happened, though, that was
right.
Like,
and I think once you
that
saw
third
that
third round, kind of sealed
that was
it.
A
I
big
think once you
turning
saw that,
point.
You know, I mean, once you see that nose, it's like, how do you give it to the other guy, right?
How do you even fix that shit? Is my question. That motherfucker.
Bro, he's gonna have the Andre Arlovsky nose forever.
Yeah, he had surgery literally the night of. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I would have had it in the fucking octagon. Damn.
I mean, what that it has
crooked's
to be
crooked's an understatement. That bitch was a straight up Z.
We've seen in UFC.
I've never seen one like that.
I mean, Rich that, Franklin's that was bad. That one in the Ultimate Fighter, mean, dude, oof. Who had the green hair, need one homie and fucking
yeah.
But bro, this one right here was the worst I've ever seen. And shout out to motherfucking Mike Perry for getting choked. There was like 1 minute left, and he's sitting there in a guillotine, and blood's just. Shooting all over Vicente
Luque. He's breathing
Luque.
Two different ways.
Bro, literally. And he just didn't even look like he was thinking about quitting. Mm-hmm. Mike Perry, bro. A controversial figure, but one of the funnest fighters in the UFC to watch.
Absolutely. Mike Perry snaps his couple fight winning streak, and Vicente Luque moves up to 6 wins in the welterweight division.
Yeah, so his 6-fight UFC winning streak in that welterweight division is...
Oh, I'm sorry, 6-fight winning streak. He's got even more than that overall.
Yeah, he's 10-2 in the UFC, 17-6-1 overall. But this 6-fight welterweight winning streak right now is the 6th active longest streak. Of course, it's behind Colby Covington, Eliza Zaleski dos Santos, Panza Santiago Nizziobio... Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman.
Try and say that one, Slim.
San Sanago Pan Snabio.
But yeah, dude, Vicente Luque just on a tear right now. One of the most, like, when he goes in there, you know it's going to be just bloody. You know it's going to be a brawl. I mean, he went from destroying Jalen Turner to that crazy fight of the night with Brian Barberina.
Yeah.
Crazy fight with Derek Krantz, who was very hyped up coming into the UFC, and
right.
then this performance against Mike Perry. Just feed me more and more Vicente Luque, please.
Give me more of him ASAP. Like, UFC needs to send this dude to the stars.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought Mike Perry did great in this. Like I said, I don't think he did enough to get the dub, though.
Mm-hmm.
He just wasn't landing as accurately, I don't think.
So this streak here of Vicente Luque going to decision was his first decision victory since June 21st of 2014.
Oh!
A span of 1,876 days. That's more than 5 years and 12 fights.
Sorry, Vicente. I put bad luck on you. Damn.
And you called it. So props to Slim on that one.
Damn.
But and that was I'm sorry, Mike Perry has suffered 4 of his 5 career losses by decision. Hmm. But what about definitely was deserving of the $50,000 bonus that it got for both of these men. Can't say anything more about this fight. No, it was amazing.
$50,000, that's going to do a nose job, though.
Bro, sure. Did you guys see the shit about Mia Khalifa that came out?
Yeah, I was going to talk with you about that.
So
there's not a chance that chick only made $12,000.
That's what I'm saying. Bro. So this dude tweeted, he was like, kids, Mike Platinum Perry just got his nose and face rearranged for about $150,000.
Mia Khalifa got her guts rearranged for 12. Nine like, people at a time.
Yeah, and for 12,000.
Chick only made 12 grand.
Be an MMA fighter, not a porn star.
Come on.
That's awesome.
I'll do it for 2,000.
Yeah. I'll take this dick for $100.
Jeez.
You got to wonder what she was really getting paid. What do most porn stars get paid? I know you get paid more when you do like
more than,
and I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. Bro, I'm pretty sure Pornhub also has like she's ranked like number 2 on Pornhub.
Like amateur people get like $37,000.
Yeah, like checks and shit. Cam girls are out here getting paid, bro. So.
It's probably fake.
Stupid.
She probably got paid $12,000 for one shoot because I've seen her take a dick and a chick at the same time.
What, when she was wearing the hijab?
Yeah.
See, you just disgraced your whole race right there. Come on, you're telling me you're not making money off that? Yeah. Get the fuck out
like,
of my
come
face.
On. I know she made probably $12,000 on that shoot alone because when you do gay porn, you make even more money.
All right,
it's worth more than straight porn.
First off, that's not gay porn.
She's fucking a girl.
That's not gay porn, fam. There's lesbian. There's that was.
I'm not talking categories.
That was a FMF threesome, not a fucking gay porn. What do you, bro? Get your
when you lick a clit or suck a dick as a man. When you lick a clit as a girl or suck a dick as a man, you will make more money than if you just as a guy fucked a chick or as a girl fucked a dude.
First off, I haven't been paid to fuck nobody, so just toss that $12,000 my way, and I'll be right. Happy. I don't give a fuck.
What's your porn name?
Juice Steel.
Shit. What's yours?
Or the big Polish kielbasa. One of the two.
Dr. Rip Studwell.
Lenny Kravitz. Anal Habins.
That's mine. I know you know I be talking about anal in my raps and shit. Come on.
Yeah, but that's about dudes.
He's making more money than you, though.
Yeah. Right. You want me to pull my bank account right now?
Mia Khalifa out here bullshit.
Been holding down to my 20 to pay you just because.
Yeah. Bro, you can't, I know how you can make it up to
in
me.
In that same hand, though, you can't tell me there's not somebody that's scouring Pornhub that wouldn't pay that chick $12,000
alone
just to fucking suck a titty.
Just to show, just to cam. She could just literally cam.
You know what I mean? Tripping. Like, she's straight bullshit.
Pretty sure she quit
Super
porn.
She said she did it 5 years ago. I just saw on Bang Bros, like, bro, like 6 months ago. It's like,
you got a Bang Bros subscription?
Yeah.
If anything, I'd gas it up. I'd be like, I made fucking millions.
I spend more in porn subscriptions than, like, Netflix, Hulu.
Are you still watching? Of fucking course I am. My hands are just busy.
Oh, my God. You get the ads or the ad-free?
I'm on that Hulu ad free type shit.
You get that shit. It's like, hey fucker with the tiny dick.
Oh my god.
You know what I'm sick of the most of though? Everybody, I guarantee anybody who's listening to this, if you fucking have watched any bit of porn, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That fucking Latina chick with the 97Z tits that's like, do you want to see my big brown ass? Like, no, bitch, I don't anymore. I just want to get to my video.
Or the one that's like, hey, you! Jeez. That's the worst shit. I'm like, bro, get out of here.
The one chick, he's like, hey, baby, what are you doing? Just jerking off to free porn.
Right by yourself? Like, dude, no, yeah. I'm with my fucking friends.
Yeah. The one.
Really circle jerking right now.
The one that was like the two girls, like, TA, I just got a new dildo. Do you want to see me put it in her pussy or ass? She sounds so unenthused. Like, I'm not getting paid for this.
Yeah.
I'm only making $12,000 off this shoot. Right. Fuck it.
I need to go back to college.
go back to stripping.
Good God.
All right.
Let's talk about this last fucking... I just had to wash a whole shit ton of glitter off of me from last night. I feel gross. Oh, God.
Okay. Where'd you go, Jake?
Hush.
What is nightclub? Where's the cabaret? Where's that?
Mm-mm. It's right in the hood off Arlington.
That's how we like it.
You got those big titties in your face. Okay.
No, dude, surprisingly, the probably Monday night ones. Lineup was not weak. I was expecting like bullet holes and fucking C-section scars, but it wasn't that weak.
The Monday night lineup
wasn't that weak.
Next up, Peggy. Yeah. She comes out with the wood leg. We're like, all right, time to go.
Yeah. Archibald fucking
Peggy
Sinwell.
Sticks.
We had our fun, boys. Let's get out of here. Oh, all right, Jesus. We got one more fight to talk about or to review.
Do we
least.
Really have to?
Not really. Valentina Shevchenko did what everybody said she was going to do. She went out there. She dominated Liz Carmouche for 5 rounds. She put her on her ass. She took her down.
She put a dildo in there, too.
Yes. That's one thing we don't do here, Jake. Sexualize our fighters. Like Dana White. Oh, whoa. Where'd that come from?
What do you say?
Nothing. He's just a little bit creepy, in my opinion.
All right. Unless we're talking about Rachel Ostrich,
pretty sure he released Cyborg because she fucked him.
Ooh, whoa! And she wouldn't fuck him again, and he was salty. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna give."
No,
Tracy
I meant
Cortez
like she literally fucked him, not like.
Oh, like
yeah,
like funny, like
than Dana's.
Yeah, well,
put it is Dana Pink, or I guess it'd be
I don't
his
like
Dana
none of this.
His Dana Brown.
Oh,
so Valentina Shevchenko is now 4-0 in the UFC flyweight division. Her two consecutive,
pretty sure that's the lead now, right?
Tied with Jessica, I think. Her two consecutive UFC women's flyweight title defenses are, of course, most in divisional history because she's like the only good champ. There was only one other one, and she was bad.
Yeah.
Shevchenko's 4-fight UFC win streak in flyweight competition. These ones are pointless. This
fight will go down to me as one of the most boring title fights I've ever watched.
Jeez, that's a little excessive.
I was very just like not into it.
I'm with you there. That shit was fucking lame.
Valentina Shevchenko and Liz Carmouche combined for 60 significant strikes landed, which is the third fewest in a modern era UFC title fight that went all 5 rounds. Of course, we saw Demetrius Johnson versus Tim Elliott, which was what, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
But that was like the equivalent of watching Michael J. Fox and Stephen Hawking box. Like, them motherfuckers didn't throw nothing.
DJ and Tim Elliott was like 2013, 2014.
And then Sean Sherk and Hermes Franca only threw 41 in their championship fight.
Oh, that was way years ago.
Yeah, so Liz Carmouche is now 2-2 since going down to the UFC flyweight division. And all, I'm sorry, she suffered 5 of her 7 career losses by decision. That was UFC on ESPN Plus 14. Slim goes down on another card.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. Only by one.
Not say yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I went 2-1. You went.
I went
3-2.
Do you ever win?
You went 2-1, and I went 3-2. Tell me how that makes sense.
That don't make sense.
Slim went 2-3.
Yeah, sometimes I win, Jake.
He won last week. He had a good, or 2 weeks ago, he had a good week, but. It's few and far between. I'm getting worried for him at this point.
Shut up.
We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, I have so many goddamn fucking notes on my phone. I think my thumbs are going to fall off from how much I typed today. So I got full previews coming. I put my all in this one. I didn't really do as good last week because I kind of ran through it.
It's fine.
But this one, I'm giving you guys
Monty homework.
Giving you guys all the good deets, so... Make sure you stay with us. We'll be right back to preview the exciting card, the return of Nate Diaz. Ooh. Oh, man. There's so much going on. Borichinha! Oh, my gosh!
My baby!
UFC 241 coming up. We'll be right back.
Ratanen Adeluski!
Somebody please get him some milk.
Pour Budweiser in his mouth. Little, come back.
Little 2% for this man. Okay, we're back.
Big back in tings.
You already know, like we said, UFC 241 is this Saturday, which is insane.
Yeah.
This card like crept up on me real quick.
Snuck up on us.
I felt like it was...
I've been waiting for Nate Diaz.
Oh, I mean, all of us have, but it just felt like it was so far away. I didn't think Nate was going to fight, and he still has 4 days left to pull out. I mean, we'll see.
Hey.
I'm kidding. I don't want
to
jinx that.
All credit to Showtime. I like Pettis, man, but...
Pettis at welterweight is still untested. He's only had one fight in which he was getting pieced up the entire fight.
Okay, so now you're telling me that Nate is not about to fucking just bombard him with jabs like he does everybody else.
Nate's been out for 2.5 years. I don't know.
And his usual plotting forward, I'll get into it.
Later.
I mean, later.
Guaranteed, is he going to be a bloodied cut mess? Absolutely. Yeah. You can't flick him in the eyebrow without that shit happening.
Right.
But this it only true. Pisses him off, him and Nick, and all they do is come out there and hit you with them 87 fucking jabs in the row, and...
Right.
Jake, you are not wrong. Okay,
Jake out here with the early fight
predictions.
Preview.
I like it. Alright, well, let's take this card from the very bottom. We have Sabina Mazo going up against Shayna Dobson.
Yeah, so Sabina Mazo... the Colombian queen or something? What is it?
It's Mazo, you said?
The Colombian... Yeah, it's Colombian queen.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she's making more than me and Khalifa on this fight.
Her record
well,
is...
maybe 10K. Who knows?
Her record, 6-1, 0-1 in the UFC, going up against Shayna Dobson, who's a police officer somewhere... coming in with a 3-2 record. She is 1-1 in the UFC.
I believe somewhere in Texas.
You made that up.
She fights at Texas.
Okay, so yeah, you're right then. Good job, Slim. Slim, thanks. Slim, Slim, Slim.
Jake, keep going.
But we kick off the night here with a flyweight bout between two strikers as Columbia's Sabina Mazo going up against Shayna Dobson. So starting here with Mazo, she is actually coming off a tough unanimous decision loss where she fought Ukraine's Marina Moros in her UFC debut, which is a pretty tough bout.
Right.
So she usually pumps in her jab and then throws some pretty good leg kicks behind it, but her head kick is her specialty. She gets her leg up in the air like extremely quick. So, you know, kind of be on the lookout for that one. But when she's throwing, she keeps her chin up in the air. She's a little bit tall for the division,
right.
But
she's only 22.
Yeah, exactly. She is only 22 years old, but she has the fight experience advantage in this one.
Exactly.
So I think that's pretty valuable. And then Shayna Dobson here. So she may not be as technical a striker as Mazo, but she's definitely going to have the speed and the power advantage in this one. She usually likes making the fights pretty ugly. She likes making it a brawl, and she'll eat some tough shots to land some big ones of her own.
Right.
She's coming off a loss in her last fight as well. I think in this one, both fighters are going to keep this one standing.
And she fought Nico Montano in only her second fight.
Yeah. And lost, correct?
Yes. But
yeah. I think this fight's going to stay standing most of the time, but the power of Shayna Dobson... And I think she's going to be the advancing fighter most of the fight. I see it just wearing on Sabina Mazo. And I see Shayna Dobson getting her second UFC victory. I'm going to pick Shayna Dobson over Sabina Mazo via unanimous decision.
Wow. I am taking Sabina Mazo.
A&A MMA going to disagree on this one. Slim's going with Sabina, Colombian Queen Mazo. I'm going with Shayna Dobson. And the odds are currently sitting... with Shayna Dobson as the -125 favorite over the very close -105 Sabina Mazo.
Nice.
Moving on to next one. The bantamweight division.
Oh, this one's exciting. We got Killer B, Brandon Davis, going up against Kyung Ho Kang.
Mr. Perfect. Brandon Davis coming in with a 10-6 record. It's hard to believe this is going to be his sixth UFC fight. He is 2-3 so far
nuts.
In the UFC.
My man's just been having absolute wars every time he gets in the cage.
Right. And then Kyung Ho Kang, 15-8 overall, with a 4-2 record, 1-0 contest in the UFC. But this one's going to be action-packed from the get-go. I can guarantee you that. South Korea's Kyung Ho Kang. just really impressive to me. I mean, his ground game is one of the most underrated, I think, especially in the bantamweight division.
Right. Dude, he's been in the UFC since 2013.
It's been a while, dude. Both of these guys are actually coming off impressive submission victories to get themselves back in the win column. Brandon Davis kind of went on a little bit of a losing. I think he had a 2-fight losing streak there.
Yeah, Tizza B and Enrique Barzola, to be fair.
Understandable. And then came back and got that submission win over Randy Costa. Mm. So, you know, these two are always really fun. Killer B's got a pretty solid all-around game. And he always talks a little bit of trash with
I like
which, which makes it a lot more interesting. So, there's one thing we do know, though. He's not going to back down in this one. He mixes up his Muay Thai with his purple belt BJJ skills pretty well. But, dude, Kyung Ho Kang is a actual grappling nightmare.
Yeah, the former Road FC champion.
Champion, yeah. He choked one of my all-time favorites, Taruto Ishihara, unconscious in his last fight.
Right.
So, in 15 of his 11 wins, or I'm sorry, in 15 wins, 11 of them are by submission, with two of them coming by knockout, so 13 stoppages.
Wow.
You know he's going to be going right after it, especially with Brandon Davis, and I know Brandon Davis is going to be encouraging it, so we're in for a firefight off rip. And Kyung Ho Kang's actually a legitimate blue belt, so he's actually one rank, I believe, blue belt's over purple belt in the jiu-jitsu ranking order, so he does have that.
Well, in any belt ranking order.
And he also did Sarium, which is the national sport of South Korea, and they wear, like, I don't know, belts, and they, like, grab each other, and it's, like, almost like,
like,
I don't know.
Sumo, like, but for skinny guys?
Yeah, it's, like, yeah, it's pretty confusing. It's, like, a mix of Greco-Roman wrestling and, like, folk wrestling or some shit like that. I was reading about it. It's pretty crazy,
okay,
dude. But yeah, he did that, which, like, is a very powerful, you know, build some lower
core
body strength. I mean,
yeah,
dude is just like, if he gets close to you, he's grabbing you up, and if he gets you to the ground, big problems. I don't know, man. This one's pretty hard to call. If Brandon Davis can stop some of Kyung Ho Kang's takedowns and put a little bit of pressure on him, I think he will damage him and you know, possibly win, but I think this one's going to go Kang's way. And also of note, Slim, Brandon Davis, this is only his second time ever fighting at bantamweight. Usually fought at lightweight and then featherweight. So still adjusting to this weight class. Very interesting.
His first one was the last one, right?
Yeah, against Randy Costa. I'm interested to see how the weigh-in goes in this one. I'll be watching for that. So I'm going to go with Kyung Ho Kang defeating Brandon Davis via third-round submission.
Killer B.
A&A MMA going to disagree again, starting off like we did last week, baby, getting right to the disagreements. I love it. Slim's going with Killer B, Brandon Davis. I'm going to go with Kyung Ho Kang, Mr. Perfect, who's actually currently sitting as the minus 185 favorite over the plus 155 slight underdog, Brandon Davis.
Yes. On to this next one. Yeesh. We have a women's, what is it, strawweight? Yeah, what's strawweight about between Hannah Cyphers and Jodi Esquibel?
Yeah, Hannah Cyphers coming in 9-3, 1-1 overall in the UFC against Jodi Esquibel, who is 6-5, 0-3 in the UFC. So this is going to be, of course, the featured early preliminary bout between two veterans here. Hannah Cyphers, who's coming off a win going against Jodi Esquibel, who is still searching for that elusive first UFC victory.
Right.
How do you go 0-3 off rip, Slim?
That sucks, man.
Eef. All right. So
I mean, she's fought top competition. I'm just
true,
saying.
True. Hannah Cyphers snuck a split decision over Poliana Viana last time we saw her. So she likes keeping the fight standing. She's got really good power in her punches. Five of her nine victories have came by stoppage, either by knockout or TKO. And she's shown that she can be taken down. So against Jodi Esquibel, who does like wrestling, I think that's going to be a possible exploitation here for Esquibel. So she's now 1-4 in her last five fights, speaking of Esquibel. And she honestly just has not displayed the skills to me to turn her UFC career around.
No,
just to be totally honest with you.
Same.
I think the only way she's going to be able to win this fight is if she neutralizes that striking of Cypher's and can exploit that takedown defense. But I personally cannot bring myself to pick a fighter who's gone 0-3 in the UFC and who...
And who was 1-2 before he even got in the UFC.
I mean...
On her last three.
Yeah. I don't know if that's right, but yeah.
Yeah, she lost against Ashley Yoder and Invicta, or at the Ultimate Fighter season finale, then lost against Alexa Grasso and Invicta, and then she beat Deanna Bennett in Invicta, and then she got in the UFC.
Yeah, so she started out her career 6-2.
Yeah, but...
And then she's lost her last three.
Right.
But like I said, I just honestly cannot bring myself to pick Jodi Escobel in this one. I am going to go with Hannah Cyphers defeating Jodi Escobel via unanimous decision.
Same.
And then the odds on that one, Hannah Cyphers is currently sitting as the -310 favorite over Jodi Escobel, who's the +250. If you can take that bet on Hannah Cyphers, put a lot of money on that, because I feel like that is just a steal. I don't know what the matchmakers are seeing, or the bookies, or whatever you want to call them, at giving Jodi Escobel +250. I don't know, man. Hannah Cyphers should be at least a -500.
That's fair.
At least. I like that bet with Hannah Cyphers. If you want to go Hannah Cyphers via unanimous decision, I think that's a bet to make.
I like that. And in the next one, we're going up to the men's bantamweight division. We have Manny, the Bermuda Triangle, Bermudez, going up against Casey Kenney.
So I saw that it's possibly going to be
Drakkar
Klose and Christos Jagos opening up the preliminary card. And then Bermudez and Kenny, and then Austin Sal.
Sam Hagen. Saw that on SureDog. Let me check the UFC's official site.
It's fine, though.
Because I know one of them was canceled. That's why Klose is fighting Lando Banana.
Lando Banana! Wait, what?
I saw... Not tonight, or not Saturday night, but I'm saying I know one of them got canceled because Klose is fighting... What's his name? Close yeah, opening up the Close prelims... Klose
is fighting Christos Jagos?
No.
That's who he's fighting.
No, that's not happening tonight. We just announced that 20 minutes ago.
What? Lando Venata is fighting Mark DeCasey.
Yeah, but not tonight. Or not Saturday night.
Bro, what are you talking about?
We announced that 20... Yeah.
Why?
So
that fight is so... Lando Venata and Mark DeCasey. What's that have to do with anything?
So Mark DeCasey's off the card. What I have is Manny Bernunas versus Casey Kenney. Bro, Mark DeCasey
wasn't supposed to be on this card.
Oh, you said Drakkar Klose. Never mind.
Drakkar Klose fights Christos Jagos. They fought, and
I mix their names up all the time. No, I have Manny Bernunas first, but fuck it. We'll go with that. So, anyway, we have...
amazing.
Like I said, Bermuda's Triangle. He is 14-0 in his fight career overall. He is on a three-fight win streak in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And all three finishes. Dude, yeah. Fucking the truth.
Truly. And then Casey Kenney coming in 12-1-1. He's currently 1-0 in the UFC with a win over Ray Borg. So these are two legitimate prospects, bro.
Yes.
The fact that they have them right here on this card, it means something, and there's a reason why. It's because they think highly of both of these guys.
Casey's 28, Manny's 25.
Yeah, two really young guys. Casey Kenney fought two times on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. He won that UFC debut, like I said. He's a really good wrestler, but honestly, his striking game could use a little bit of work. He may look to control this fight for three rounds from the top, but bro, we're talking about Manny Bermudez here.
Come
dog.
On, man.
We're talking about the Bermudez Triangle.
Come on,
He's known for submissions off his back. Arm bars, triangles.
His last non-submission was in 2016. He got a split decision over Saul Almeida.
Yeah. So, honestly, he might just let Casey Kenney take him down so he can work off of his back the entire round.
Sure.
Like I said, 11 of his 15 wins have come by submission, arm bars, guillotines, triangle chokes. I think he's going to set up a really nice trap, and Casey Kenney is going to fall into it nicely as well.
Absolutely.
I am going to go with Manny Bermudez defeating Casey Kenney via second round submission.
I like it.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. That's two agreements in a row. Yay, Slim. We're starting to get along.
I like you. Going on this next one, we had
one finally.
Yeah, we had Trucker Close, who is not the other guy that I mentioned, Mark DeCasey, even though apparently they fought once, and I just got both their names in my head all the time. Going up against Christos Giagos.
Yeah.
Who is 17-7 in his MMA career overall. He has only 2 fight win streak in the UFC. He beat Demir Hanzovic and Mitso Hirota. But he lost his first fight in the UFC against Charles Oliveira.
That wasn't his first fight in the UFC. This is actually his second stint in the UFC. Was his first fight coming back. Before that, he was 1-2, and then he, you know, left, did some good work, came back. Seems to be working for him. But these are two pretty interesting lightweights who are both on 2 fight winning streaks. So Close, last time he fought was against Bobby Green. Am I correct?
Yeah, which I don't think. Did we pick against him
in that one? I don't think so. I feel maybe like we not. Took Drakkar Close maybe in not. That one, but he also beat Lando Venata the fight before that.
Right.
So I mean, there's no denying the hype behind Close. Mm-hmm. He always mixes that strong striking with that good wrestling that he's got, and he can typically suppress dangerous fighters. Like I said, Lando Venata, Bobby Green, those are 2 really flashy, explosive fighters.
Right.
So.
Right.
And he figured out exactly how to suppress them.
Right.
And then we have Giagos, who's also coming off those back-to-back wins, like you said, Hadzovic, Hirota. Just looking much better as of late. He definitely took that time off the UFC to focus on his stand-up game and his takedown defense, which has worked pretty well for him. And he's going to look to stop those takedowns of Close, but that, I think, is going to open him up to take some big shots.
Big shots.
Because he's going to be looking for that takedown, and unfortunately, Drakkar Close is just going to be setting him up. He's going to execute that the entire fight. Give me Drakkar Close to defeat Christos Giagos via unanimous decision.
Yeah, we know Close is pretty flashy. I think that's exactly how he gets it done.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Drakkar Close. Which takes us to the bantamweight division.
Oh, I can't wait for this fight. Wow, Rafael Assuncao going up against Corey Sandhagen. Corey Sandhagen, we recently saw him completely dismantle John Lineker in the bantamweight division.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up being John Lineker's release from the UFC.
True.
He is 11-1 in the UFC overall, or 11-1 in his fight career overall, 4-0 in the UFC. Rafael Assuncao, bit of a skid here. He recently
Just lost his last fight.
He was on a 4-fight win streak before that, but that was back 2018, 2017. So has got to get a win in 2019 so far.
Yeah, this is, I feel, one of... John Lineker was a really good test, but this is a true test right here to see if Corey
Sandhagen...
they're
throwing him in there.
...can hang with the... absolute best bantamweights
if
in the world.
Corey Sandhagen can hang. I like
bro, that. He's getting Rafael Assuncao, who's only ever lost once by KO. We know how Corey Sandhagen likes getting it done. He likes knocking fools the fuck out.
Right.
So that's going to be pretty tough for him, but he's also really good at jiu-jitsu. He's a brown belt.
He's a wizard on the ground.
He's a brown belt, but Rafael Assuncao is a black belt.
Mm.
So I do think he's still going to have that advantage. So what Sandhagen needs to do is look to land some combos with those quick hands and stun Assuncao and then possibly, you know, finish up right there. Right. But he stood up a lot with John Lineker in his last fight. So that
he
shows
great. Yeah.
It shows he has a lot of confidence in his hands. That's all you got to see is him fight somebody like that and know that he's not afraid to, you know, take a couple shots. But if he can keep it standing, I think he takes this one. If Assuncao does get this to the ground, we might see the levels of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But I think Corey Sandhagen can outwork Rafael Assuncao for 3 entire rounds. Give me Corey Sandhagen to defeat Rafael Assuncao via unanimous decision.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Corey Sandhagen.
This next one's with the Cleveland
the boy. Cleveland.
Saying 216
was
good. Yeah. Devontae Smith
kid,
with a
the Cleveland kid, you
2
know what I'm
opponent change.
Yeah, cuz motherfuckers are spooked.
Yeah,
super scared of the homie.
And they should be. He's really supposed to face
So this guy he's fighting, his name is Kama Worthy.
Yeah, apparently they're friends.
Yeah, they actually trained together. Devontae posted a picture today of them
I saw that.
You know, in the cage together after a workout. So man, like I said, the Cleveland kid himself, Devontae Smith, making that much-anticipated third trip to the UFC octagon, and like you said, this time it's against a friend of his.
Dude, he was supposed to fight John McDessie, and then he was supposed to fight Clay Collard, and now we're on to this Kamiya guy.
Kamiya, comma.
Comma.
So comma worthy.
He was the top five ranked fighter in Pennsylvania right now.
He's the number one ranked fighter in Pennsylvania right now, and he has mainly fought a lot of he's fought a lot of locale fights, so right. Fighting in Pittsburgh. But listen to this list of fighters that he's faced: Paul Felder, Matt Bissett,
jeez,
Kyle Nelson,
wow,
and the newly signed Billy Quarantillo. So, I mean, he has fought some really, really good fighters. Can't take that away from him. That shows, I mean, he's probably fought better people than Devontae at this point. So,
has had more fights, that's for sure.
But, bro, let's be real.
We're talking Devontae,
Let's be real here. The best thing about him in the cage is that his nickname is the Death Star for comma worthy.
Yeah, I mean, obvious reasons.
And Devontae Smith is one of the best prospects in the entire lightweight division.
And that's why they put him atop the prelims.
It's the showcase, bro. People want to see him. He's a personality. I mean, simply his speed, his power, and his personality are just next level.
Yeah, I think Devontae is going to hit him with the bang, and then the bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, I think this is going to be another showcase of what's sure to be a future top 10 lightweight.
Yes.
Give me Devontae Smith to defeat comma worthy via a first round TKO.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Devontae Smith in this one. And that's going to be your preliminary card that will be featured on ESPN, which takes us to the fucking main card that I'm so hype about. Jake's going to jump in here soon. We're going to get the conversation rolling on that co-main event, but we got three extremely exciting fights coming up before that. Let's get into that first one, Slim.
Indeed we do. We have Derek Brunson taking on Ian Heinisch. Wow. Ian Heinisch is 13-1 in his MMA career. He is on a 3-fight winning streak, including the win over the Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series win.
The Contender Series guy.
And Derek Brunson, he did just come off a win over Elias Theodorou. He sent him packing out of the UFC, but he was on a 2-fight losing streak before that. Israel Adesanya and Renato Souza. Still top 15 competition regardless. Definitely. But Ian Heinisch is breaking the door down to the top 15, and now he's getting the real test.
Number 8 versus number 10 right here. So a battle of two top 10 middleweights here, and it's going to be a slugfest off rip. I can tell you that right now. Both of these guys are really good strikers. We know Derek Brunson has that pedigree of wrestling that he carries around with him. But I think Ian Heinisch is the stronger person. So I don't think Derek Brunson's going to in any way be able to bully Ian Heinisch when it comes to takedowns. I think Ian Heinisch is just as good of a wrestler as...
Yeah, Derek might have the wrestling advantage, but I don't think he's going to be able to take him down.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. But, dude, Ian Heinisch is just on a tear right now. 5 wins in a row. That really impressive win on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series where he broke through the guard with those vicious elbows. And just 2 dominant UFC victories since he's came here. But this is top 10 territory, like you said.
Right.
This is the first time he's seen it, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens when he's thrown into this. But bro, I got to go with Ian Heinisch until I see anything different out of him.
Same.
All I've seen is dominance.
Dude, just greatness, yeah.
So
fucking goddamn.
And also a teammate of Devontae Smith. They're getting shit done there at Factory X Muay Thai.
Yeah, they are.
Give me Ian Heinisch to defeat Derek Brunson via unanimous decision and possibly take his 8 spot, maybe move a little bit ahead.
I agree.
Moving on to the featherweight division. Damn, we haven't had a disagreement since our first two.
A lot of these are great fights. Going on to the next one, we have Sadiq Youssef going up against
Mowgli Gabriel Benitez.
Shit.
Benitez coming in with that 21-6 record, 5-2 in the UFC. Impressive since he's came.
Yeah, for sure.
Versus Sadiq Youssef,
who is the Nigerian fighter they're trying to push right now.
9-1, 2-0 overall, and
3-0 in the UFC.
Let me.
Well, including Danny White's Contender Series win.
I used to count that too, but I figured
out you might as well. It's not like the Ultimate Fighter anymore.
I know you think that, but like it's not because so many people don't get contracts, so it's not like in the UFC. I mean, I understand it, so I have to like kind. I feel like it's an asterisk.
But at the same time, it's like it's not the Ultimate Fighter to where you're like, oh, I fought Diego Sanchez, but yeah, it didn't kind of get your record.
Yeah,
though.
It's definitely not an exhibition. I understand that for sure. And
you're still fighting one of the best regional fighters ever. So both those fighters. If they got contracts outside of the UFC, they're still going to fight in the UFC one day. You know what I'm saying? So I think I count that.
Yeah, no, I get it. I used to count it too, but the more I thought about it, I don't know. I just figured away from it. Anyway. But we got a really interesting matchup here, dude.
You're not under the bright lights till you get there.
I think Gabriel Benitez got a really tough draw here. I really do.
Big draw.
I think they're kind of putting him
in this is the next Nigerian nightmare right here.
I think they're kind of putting Sadiq Youssef in a spot where he can shine right now.
Yeah. On the fucking main card, the pay-per-view?
I mean, he's literally just one of the most dangerous fighters on the roster. He can end the fight at any moment, bro.
Whenever he wants.
And he's literally just dominated since he came here. Mm-hmm. So, just like Heinisch, I mean. But Benitez is battle-tested. He has impressed since he's came, like I said, to the UFC. But I just got to go with Youssef in this one. And I think after this, he gets a top 15 or like a fringe top 15, like maybe one more before he gets that 15.
Yeah.
But, dude, expect something big from him on this night. I think
possibly a knockout.
I think he's going to make a big name for himself. I'm going to go Sadiq Youssef to defeat Gabriel Benitez via first round knockout. Not Woo-hoo-hoo! TKO, knockout.
I like it.
For sure.
Going on this next one. The dream matchup we've been hoping for Slim, over a year now.
Slim, save it. I got this one, bro. Because I got something to say about this one.
Okay.
We got number 2, Yoel Romero, 13-3 overall, 9-2 in the UFC. Going up against number 7, Paulo Costa, 12-0, 4-0 since he's came to the UFC. I like to think of myself as a very simple man.
Yes.
I pride myself on being very low maintenance.
Okay. Yeah, the fit you're wearing attests to that.
I truly do not ask very much.
All right.
So please. Please. God. All I ask is for this fucking fight to happen. Please, 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 please don't let anything happen.
All right, please.
To either of these men.
Please.
All I need to see this entire night, and then I can go to bed happy, is to watch the all-time winningest award winner in A&E history.
Yes.
The chin that was chiseled by Michelangelo himself.
The chin that's going to butter my bread one day.
Is supposed to take on the most freakish athlete in the history of mixed martial arts.
At 28 years old.
I know the people's fight is this co-main event that's after this. But I will tell you right now, Slim, I have not been this authentically interested in a fight in years.
A&A MMA's fight of the night. The one to watch. The people's.
The one to watch.
The R main event.
The unbeaten, muscled, beautiful power puncher, Paulo Borrachinha. Versus top 3 scariest men to ever walk into the octagon.
Jake, look this man up.
Ever.
You'll change your thoughts on men.
I'm not giving you guys numbers.
Well, just this man.
I'm not going to tell you who's win. All I'm telling you is just shut the hell up, sit in your seat, and crack a cold motherfucking beer. Because this is a surefire bet. One of these men is winning $50,000 on this night.
I agree.
I don't know who it's going to be. I truly don't.
You deserve $50,000 if you step in the ring with UL, man.
I truly don't know who wins this fight.
Look up Paulo Costa.
But I'm just going to have fun with this one.
I know. I'm just saying. UL is fucking freakish, man.
So is this, man.
I'm just going to have fun with this one. I'm going to pick Paulo Borrachinha Costa to defeat Yoel Romero via knockout in the second round.
I'm going to have to bet with the losing team on Slim in this one.
What's that?
Oh, you don't got you all? I guess I'm in the losing bracket.
Borrachinha, baby. You know what it is.
Borrachinha all day. I will never pick against this man.
The all-time winningest A&A meet.
Until he fights Israel Adesanya, I will never pick against this man.
He's fucking Israel Adesanya. That's such a fire fight, though. Jeez.
So good.
I have to see that one day.
It's in the future. It's in the future. It's in the next 2 years, for sure. 100%.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, Borrachinha, I have him absolutely... just
winning. And if Borrachino wins this, he's one fight away from that title shot.
I'm taking both y'all action.
If Yo Romero loses, I think he retires.
Oh, geez. No.
He just won how many millions off that court deal, off that lawsuit?
I mean, a lot, but geez, easy.
Like, what was it, like 30 million?
$30 million.
Yeah, something about $30 million. Like something
nuts in a vice clamp.
Something like something like Connor money. Like you never have to fight again.
Yo, I totally forgot to keep giving odds. Drakkar Klose is currently the -200 favorite over Christos Jagos at +160. Who's next after that, Slim?
Oh shit! You called me.
Austin Sao and Sandhagen. Sandhagen's the -165 favorite over the +135 Rafael Austin Sao.
Then Devontae.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, what is he?
-800.
Hey, my boy.
Just that. I mean, that's the most surefire bet you can get.
Yeah. And then Brunson Ian.
Ian Heinisch is currently the -150 favorite over Derek Brunson.
That's
at
it.
+120.
Nice. Sadiq.
Sadiq Youssef is coming in as the second biggest favorite. Third biggest favorite on the card. Hannah Seifers is second. Sadiq Youssef is -285 over the +225 Gabriel Benitez.
Nice.
And then that brings us to this one.
Well, Borrachino.
Yeah.
And Romero.
Yoel Romero is currently the -150 favorite over the +120 Borrachino. Very close odds. I just got to go. I don't know what's going to happen.
Either Yoel Romero uses wrestling because I really haven't seen that against Borrachino, or Borrachino just fucking absolutely whaps him in the face.
And Borrachino has progressively gotten, his fights have progressively gotten longer. Uriah Hall, you know, had him tested in his last fight. I think,
but he still came with a knockout.
I think Yoel is going to test him, but I think Yoel has a notoriously low gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Borrachino has much more of a gas tank. I think he has a little bit more, a little bit enough
then
to
you
get
will.
It. Okay. I think they'll both be almost gassed by that second round. Borrachino lays it on him. Knock
I like
out.
It. I like it. I like it. I like it.
All right, Jake, what are you looking at, bro?
Motherfucking fire engine going.
Huh?
Fire engine.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Huh.
It's just burning up in the neighborhood, dog.
Okay,
we're
on
gonna
to
bring local correspondent Juice in for this welterweight bout between Anthony Pettis versus Nate Diaz.
Two young legends.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Pettis, only 32 years old. Nate Diaz, 34 years old.
Yep, Anthony Pettis, the number 8 ranked welterweight, 22-8, 9-7 in the UFC, going up against Nate Diaz, 19-11, 14-9 in the UFC. Let me just start off. Before we get into this, boys, this is Monty's pick for Fight of the Night.
Has to be.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really happy to see Nate Diaz back in the octagon.
Yeah, good for him. Same.
Let's get back to it.
Even though I think he might have CTE at this point.
Jeez.
Did you hear his interview with Brett Okamoto?
Yeah, he's probably just high as fuck, bro.
The homie has brain damage. The dude just takes punches to the face for fun.
He sounds like an absolute hooligan.
He sounds like you when you're drunk.
Yeah, but I can not do that tomorrow. Nate Diaz is like this forever now. I can stop that tomorrow.
Yo, listen, I really hope Nate Diaz comes in here and has a good game plan, because if he's doing that typical Nate Diaz plodding forward, getting leg kicks, it's not going to go well.
If Nate doesn't switch up the whole punch me in the face and let me get madder routine,
yeah.
Showtime's going to catch him.
You're fucked. Because Showtime has definite knockout power.
He's too skilled. Like,
and at 170?
He has severe technical advantage.
Bro, like.
Nate Diaz is just, like,
bro,
he's just
can you
raw.
Close that
you know,
door?
He's a
I'm
street
getting
fighter.
Bit,
he's like, hit me harder and I'm going to come back more pissed.
Juice, will you close that door real quick?
But
I'm getting bit up like a motherfucker. I can just feel it.
That's crazy. I ain't getting bit up at all. You get bit up, Juice?
They like me.
Mosquitoes are afraid of me.
They like me.
But no,
they like my alcohol.
If Nate doesn't switch it up, then yes, Pettis without a doubt will win.
Yeah.
Because he's way more technical. He's got way more under his belt.
Yeah.
But if Pettis is not aware of that reach and the fact that the man's chin is fucking cast iron, he's in for a long night as well. Because there's, I mean, even the McGregor fight, McGregor was slapping him too. But
yeah. Oh, yeah, he was getting
them jabs, fucking minimal jabs were setting him back on his feet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, true.
There's a definite advantage to both of them. But
exactly.
My favor is with Nate simply because I love the Diaz brothers. Pettis is still a force to be reckoned with.
Definitely.
Not taking anything away from the man, but I want to see Nate come out with a W.
Juice going with Nate.
Nate Diaz's run at welterweight has seen him go 3-3.
Yeah, not the best.
No. Was it 4-4 after the Conor fight?
Oh, you're going
to... I believe it was 4-4 after the Conor fight.
Just take Slim's word, guys.
Not the best, but fought Rory.
I'll tell you what, though. I will tell you this. If it goes to the ground, fucking Nate hands down.
Oh, yeah.
Nate hands fucking down. Oh, yeah.
If it goes to the ground, look for Nate to pull off one of those tricky submissions with that long frame he's got, dude.
I mean, that dude, he'll fucking pull his leg from your hip to that guy's goddamn chin.
If this is going to stay on the fight, or on the feet, I think...
Pettis has an advantage there.
I think he just gets into a groove. Like, yes. I think Nate's kind of so readable that he might get into a groove just start.
Yeah, he's
thing, too. So we've not heard this from Nate, but Anthony Pettis is mad at Nate. Apparently, this fight was supposed to happen, like, forever ago.
Really?
And Pettis is, like, ready to go. He wanted this fight real bad. So Pettis thinks Nate's just a dick.
Well, who doesn't? That's why I love the cat. I mean,
right? But I think Pettis comes in.
The main thing I want to see is him come out, put both hands in the air, yell "Stockton, motherfucker," and slap him.
Nate's 2-3 at welterweight.
Okay,
that's one of my goals for that whole fight is to just watch that open palm fucking bitch slap on Pettis and make him mad and do something foolish to lean in and take him down.
Get
caught with some nasty submission.
I just think Pettis is going to come up with something flashy and fancy because he just knocked out Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, who was the number two welterweight at the time, randomly, after getting his ass beat for two rounds, he just knocked him out.
I think that's the new confidence for him. I think if he goes two rounds getting his ass handed to him, that third's not going to go in his favor.
No.
Who, Diaz?
No, Pettis.
Oh, Pettis?
Because if Nate will... Oh. I mean, I guarantee Nate's going to take a lot of damage.
Yeah, but Nate's been out for 2.5 years. You don't know what his gas tank's going to look like.
That dude fucking runs Ironmans for fun.
True.
Bro.
This is true.
I mean,
this is true.
You can't gas him.
This is true.
You can't gas him.
That's true.
For me, I'm going with Anthony Pettis.
I think we're about to see some really fun exchanges. I think that gray canvas is about to get painted nice and red for the main event.
Yep.
It's going to be beautiful and bloody, but I have to go with the more active fighter in this one. But how fun would it be to see Nate Diaz come back and get a win?
That'd be awesome.
And then do what? What is next for him?
I don't even know what's next for him.
Who knows? That's part of the fun. Who knows what's going to happen?
Throw some water bottles at some people, call out Conor.
This goes right in the mix. Fuck.
Still, though. I'm going with Anthony Pettis to defeat Nate Diaz via unanimous decision.
Okay. I think it will definitely go to that. I don't see a knockout happening. Okay. I think it's either a decision or a submission. That's the only way. Submission Nate Diaz, decision Pettis.
I agree with that. A&A MMA going to agree on this one. Go with Anthony Pettis. Juice Wiggins, though, says... Or, I'm sorry, Juice Steele... is saying, can that be the name of this episode? Juice Steel?
Juice Steel, you got it.
Thank you. Steel, yeah, nice. All right, cool.
Steel Magnolia.
All right, we are at the home stretch here.
Oh,
we got one
Jesus.
More. The title for the baddest man on the planet.
Wow, once again, Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic are running it back. After the longest layoff of Stipe's career, as far as I know.
I think so.
Cormier fought back in November. He did beat Derek Brunson to defend Derek Lewis to defend.
Damn, he got fat as fuck.
Right. Damn, he bulked up. Derek Lewis to defend his heavyweight title in just excellent fashion.
Yep.
Took some time off for a hand and a back injury, I'm pretty sure. Stipe... has just been living life, loving life,
right.
Enjoying his family.
Saving lives.
You know, yeah, saving lives, too. Yeah, that too.
For sure.
Living life, loving life, saving life. So, enjoying his kid and all that. He's back.
What more can you say about it, bro?
Dude, Stipe.
This is the rematch between the pound for pound, not in my opinion, but
overall,
according to every, you know, the rankings, the pound for pound number one fighter in the world against the greatest heavyweight champion the UFC's ever seen.
Yes.
We get to run it back. So, of course, Stipe is coming in here with a chip on his shoulder, but not a belt.
Why are you talking like that?
I don't know, man.
Stipe, I love you. I respect you. Please come on my podcast.
No, but he's determined and he's ready. And yes. He is going to have to be 100% focused in this fight against Daniel Cormier. The only man who has beat Daniel Cormier, John Jones.
The and best you know fighter of all time.
What he did was, I heard a story not that long ago. Ed Reed, Hall of Fame safety for the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
He was playing Peyton Manning, future Hall of Fame. I don't know. He might already be in the Hall of Fame. But Hall of Fame quarterback. Not this year. Definitely not this year.
Well, you know what the fuck I meant, but regardless.
I guess I know what Jake meant. But Ed fucking Reed, it was like week two. They were playing the Colts week 10. He purposely misread coverage in his game because he knew Peyton Manning was going to come back and look at that tape and know that Ed Reed was going to fuck up on this coverage. So what happened when it was game day and the Ravens were playing the Colts? Ed Reed starts faking like he's going to go this way. Peyton Manning's thinking, oh, I got this dude open in the end zone, throws it. Ed Reed covers the entire field and fucking picks it off because he purposely did that. He knew he was setting up Peyton Manning 8 weeks later to throw an interception. And I think that's what John Jones did against Daniel Cormier. He was setting him up that entire fight. Fakes. Feints. Cormier didn't know where it was coming.
Yeah,
and then
there's no fighter though that can match that caliber of bones.
For one, I don't understand the reference whatsoever, but I think what you meant was
you don't know what football is.
He did the whole bait and switch technique.
Exactly.
For two, I don't
but
think
on a legendary level.
Right. But I don't think Stipe has the head kicks to come at Cormier.
It doesn't have to be a head kick. It doesn't necessarily
it could be
have
a
to
hook,
be.
It could be a hook, but that's
what I think he needs to do. I think Stipe needs to just take that page out of John Jones' playbook. I think that's one of the best things.
I thought you were going to say that. Never mind.
No, you're
the
stupid.
The other dude's playbook.
You sit there and burp. What he needs to do
he needs
is
to take it out of Ed Reed's playbook.
Hey, Jake, pat my back.
What he needs to do is not get very close to Cormier.
Right.
Don't get in a clinch with him.
No.
Stay on the outside. Use that efficient striking and read Cormier the entire time. I want him just reading him. He can throw a couple combos. But
in my
dude,
opinion, though,
nothing too crazy.
I think Cormier is coming for hard hits.
Let him.
Power hits.
Let him. Because
exactly.
That's what Stipe needs to do is stay
and
on the
read
outside.
Read that out. And then once you start getting that groove, just come in, doop-doop, move, come in, doop-doop, move, and then throw your fucking power and
exactly.
Rock the shit
I think
out
once
of
that
it.
Third round comes, he needs to react to what he's seen and capitalize. Now that's, you know, easier said than done.
Right.
Versus a man who's never lost at heavyweight and who has
14-0 at heavyweight.
And he has a really high fight IQ himself.
Well, he trains with the best camp in the world.
He does fucking detail for ESPN.
Right.
He breaks the shit down. He sees it. He reads film. He's really good at it.
And he's the number one pound for pound fighter in the world.
Yes, exactly. But you know, Cormier knows he's just going to have to work his game.
I think Cleveland's hungry this year. That's all I can say.
I agree with that. I agree with that statement.
Cleveland's just fucking hungry.
And I think, you already know, I'm Cleveland till I die, bro. You guys already know that. And Stipe's been one of the greatest people to ever represent the beautiful city that is off the Lake Erie shore. But with that being said,
I gotta diss him right now.
Daniel Cormier only has one man in the world that's a better fighter than him. And we're going to have to see if he wants to prove to the world whether he is better than that man or not. But until then, I'm going to go DC. Daniel Cormier defeats Stipe Miocic via unanimous decision. I fucking hate to say it.
All right, at least you said decision. At least you said decision.
I'm cheering. Bro, I'm totally cheering for Stipe. I do not give a fuck. If you pick Stipe and he wins, bro, fuck yeah. Let's cheer. Let's party.
I just can't go DC, man. I got to go with Stipe.
How can I pick against Steve Baby Ojas? Let's fucking go, baby! Cleveland, MMA, strong style, let's fucking
Jeez,
go!
Slim, it's 9:30. My fucking neighbor's got school. Relax.
School hasn't started yet.
Jeez, easy. You fuck. They got
daycare. Yeah, no. Stipe Miocic, I think he's going to learn from his past mistakes. Stipe was winning the fight handedly until he got caught with that quick right hook, I think.
Is definitely going to feel DC for the upcoming weeks, but I think he can pull it
off. Stipe's been pretty quiet. Daniel Cormier has been very vocal.
Oh, I know.
Very vocal. He's been very in the media. Stipe's been very quiet. I think Stipe's got this.
Some people are about talking, some people are about doing.
Exactly. Ooh, I like that.
MMA going to disagree on this one. I am going with the champion, Daniel Cormier. Slim and Juice both going with the Cleveland King himself, Stipe Miocic. I totally apologize. Stipe, if you win, I'm going fucking crazy, bro. I'm totally cheering for you, but picks-wise, just can't do it.
So who's the over-under on that one?
Over-under is currently sitting... actually, Nate Diaz... Oh, my gosh. He's almost a pick'em.
Wow.
Okay. Juice, shout out to you for your great insight. Please take Anthony Pettis for, like, whatever, bro. Whatever they got him at. If it's that close, if it's a pick'em with Nate Diaz, pick Anthony Pettis. Like, for sure. Daniel Cormier is currently sitting as the minus 145 favorite over Stipe, who's a very slight underdog, plus 115. That's like almost a pick'em.
Yeah.
It's like 20.
Just about.
It's like 10 points from a pick'em, so.
Wow.
20 points from a pick'em. So,
yeah. I mean, those are two of my favorite fighters, so I can't never knock them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Lose, draw, I'm still going to be like, you did a fucking great
Stipe,
job.
Stipe, please come on this show. Podcast regardless of what was said tonight.
Make sure he never listens to episode 88, Juice.
I'll just cut all this out.
If so, kill Monty.
Everyone will listen to the episode and be like, wait,
you just start playing this at the wedding? Stipe sitting there? You just see my drink just...
You just run. I'm just like, Stipe!
His drink's still in the air while he's fucking gone. He moved that quick.
Seriously. But, yo, that's UFC 241.
They gave Stipe an inch on UFC's website. He's 6'5 now. Good for him.
Damn. Hey, he's growing.
He's putting socks
in. He's a growing boy.
He's got a couple socks on in that, but it's fine.
If I have to give you guys some prop bets that I would like to go with on this one, Devontae Smith, whatever the over-under is, take the fucking over for the knockout. I think it's coming in the first round for sure. Hannah Cyphers, like I said, over Jodi Escobar. Whatever you have to bet to get Hannah Cyphers, take that. That's a for sure win. And I know I said, or you know what? No, take Anthony Pettis. Take Anthony Pettis on that one for sure.
Jake, you got Diaz?
A fucking course. I was gonna say take Pettis if you're a bitch, but
you want to throw money on?
We can do a draft.
I'll take that action. What you want? I'm not gonna bet you $20 because I'll wait 2 years before I get that shit.
We can.
I'll be fucking deployed before I get that money.
Well, suit you well then.
But I will start a DraftKings for this one. This is a good one to do DraftKings on. So
for sure.
I'll send Juice a DraftKings. We can get you one set up. Get you in there. I'm sure Chad and Jack will do it. So we'll get a nice big one going. See if we can get Wagner in there. Maybe a couple homies. But yeah, UFC 241, the official predictions are in. Slim and I disagreeing on three fights, so Slim, unfortunately, will not be able to take the lead over me this week, but...
I can tie it up. No, I'm down to one.
You can still be down to one. But yeah, we'll see how it goes for you, Slimmy Slam.
I'm mad.
Why?
I listened to one of our episodes from February, because I was just going through my shit, seeing what...
I was baking you, huh?
No.
Oh. You've seen how shitty your predictions were, weren't you?
I was winning at the time.
Oh, yeah. You were smoking me and being a dick, weren't you?
Yeah. This is back in February.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back where Lousy Weather Studios, but...
You were being very ignorant every fight you won.
Yeah, everyone. I was... You were like, oh, well, let's see if I can catch up to Slam. My, how the tides have turned.
Oh, jeez.
I'm playing catch up every single... Weekend.
I like how it feels just being in front. It's very comforting. And I know you just got that like little under like every win feels so good for you.
I'm just analyzing fighters like
I like this guy's tattoos.
I know literally every single like last weekend I barely watch these cards. I watch them loosely because I was chilling with homies. But every single fight we disagreed on, I was like, tuned in like a motherfucker. Like, I was watching them with eyes peeled, let me tell you.
I love it. Now you're just getting fucked like Mia Khalifa, bro.
Let's go back to that.
I'm not trying to owe him 12K, but...
that's funny. Jesus. But, yeah, that was episode 88. Big shout out to Juice for coming on the podcast. We appreciate you, brother.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to... shout out to my cat Spyro.
shout out to Beta Ray Bill. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah, big shouts out Beta Ray Bill. Hope everything's good, bro. You know we're out here. Bro, big shout outs to Crooks in the building.
Yeah, Crooks wants to come on. I still have to figure out how to do Skype with this. Right. We might have to do Skype on yours and connect it. We'll
got to figure it out so we can get the ESFL GOAT on here.
Hell yeah. Maybe he'll watch the fights this weekend. We can have him on next weekend.
Yeah. We'll hit up Crooks and tell him we did a shout out and he has to listen to the whole podcast for it. It's at the end.
Don't tell him that, but.
Well, yeah. No. Okay, cool. We're telling him it for now because he's listening. For sure. He just listened to the whole podcast.
He listens regardless. He shouted us out last weekend on Twitter.
I think you pooped your pants just now.
Let me check.
Baby doo-doo stain.
Let me check.
Baby doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Slim.
Ew. Smelling his fingers.
Oh, shit. I gotta go, bro. We gotta end this shit.
That was episode 88. Juice Steel. We'll see you motherfuckers next week. Let you guys know how our picks went.
Hell yeah. Juice, signing off.
Oh, we out.
Juice, hold on. You got any shout-outs? Make them count.
Nah.
Nice. Shout out to Nah. We out.
All right. Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.